Time for community comment. Opinions are those of the commentator and not necessarily those of KINS Radio.
What do I really like about my bank? When I call my bank after the first or the second ring, I hear the voice of a real, live person. Now that's customer service. I'm Edie Vasaid, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, even the smallest transactions are a big deal. I'm Nancy Victorine, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Yesterday was the 12th anniversary of the violence of 9/11. So many things have changed since then, and I'd like to hope that we've learned valuable lessons from that experience. We've learned not to underestimate the destructive potential of a misguided leader like Osama bin Laden. And hopefully we've learned not to rush to war with incomplete information. But now we face Syrian President Assad, another leader with destructive potential, and we face another decision about rushing into combat in yet another Middle Eastern conflict. I, for one, am sick of war, the cost in lives of our troops, the dead and the wounded, the damage to their families, the cost to our strained national budget and the deficit, the damage to the people and cultures in the war zones. These are all global wounds that will not soon heal. So none of us, conservative, liberal, or apolitical, want to rush into conflict. But how do we deal with human suffering inflicted by chemical weapons in the Syrian civil war? Do we address it or do we simply ignore it? President Obama made his case to the American public and saw his approval ratings drop. Hopefully a diplomatic solution is on the horizon, but that solution's more likely if Syria thinks the U.S. will make a military strike. What a mess. Is chemical warfare any different from other warfare? I mean, isn't suffering and death the same, regardless of whether it's a gun or a bomb or a gas canister? Well, yes and no. Chemical weapons are weapons of mass destruction, but in a separate category from biological weapons and nuclear weapons. Chemical weapons can be dispersed over a wide area and can afflict many people in addition to the intended target. The first international laws against chemical weapons date back to 1899, but despite those bans, chemical weapons were used in the trenches of World War I. There have been multiple agreements banning the use of chemical weapons since then. Many countries have signed on not to use the weapons, but they still maintain stockpiles. This includes the United States and Russia. These stockpiles exist as a deterrent to attack, supposedly. Two nations have stockpiles, but have not signed the agreement. Syria is one, the other is North Korea. Isn't that reassuring? According to NBC News, experts estimate the arsenal in Syria at more than 1,000 tons, including sarin gas, nerve agent Tabun, and blistering agents such as mustard and hydrogen cyanide. The weapons are stored in five major locations in Syria, but they've been moved around frequently. NBC News says Syria has the ability to launch chemical warheads about 300 miles. We have proof that they've used the weapons. They admitted it. The United States can't swoop into every country where there's an injustice. We're already stretched too thin. But how can we sit back while innocent people suffer? Problems like this are best addressed by a global community rather than a single country. Obviously, big countries shoulder more of the responsibility, but it still should come from multiple countries standing together against the use of chemical weapons. We clearly already have enough way to harm each other. This is Mike Goldsby for Community Comment.
Community Comment, presented on KINS each day. Opinions are those of the commentator and not necessarily those of KINS Radio.